I want you to open your Bibles with me this evening in the book of Job and the chapter 31. The subject I want to speak upon this evening is very simple. When God asks the questions. When God asks the questions. In Job chapter 31, we commence reading in verse number 1. I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? For what portion of God is there from above? And what inheritance of the Almighty from on high? Is not destruction to the wicked, and a strange punishment to the workers of iniquity? Doth not he see my ways, and count all my steps? If I have walked with vanity, or if my foot have hasted to deceit, let me be weighed in an even balance, that God may know mine integrity. If my step hath turned out of the way, and mine heart walked after mine eyes, and if any blot hath cleaved to mine hands, then let me sow, and let another eat. Yea, let my offspring be rooted out. If mine heart have been deceived by a woman, or if I have laid wait at my neighbor's door, then let my wife grind unto another, and let others bow down upon her. For this is an heinous crime. Yea, it is an iniquity to be punished by the judges. For it is a fire that consumeth to destruction, and would root out all mine increase. If I did despise the cause of my manservant, or of my maidservant, when they contended with me, what then shall I do when God riseth up, and when he visiteth, what shall I answer him? And it is in those last words that I want us to think upon this evening. And when God visiteth, what shall I answer him? You know, friends, life is full of questions. Young people have got to answer so many questions concerning their future, their plans, and all the necessities of life. And when we come to the Bible, we find that the Bible is a book of questions. We find in Genesis chapter 3, and the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? God asked the question. In Genesis 4 and verse number 6, God speaking unto Cain. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? In chapter 18 of Genesis, and the Lord said unto Abram, wherefore did Sarah laugh? Is anything too hard for the Lord? In Exodus chapter 4, and the Lord said unto Moses, who hath made man's mouth? And who maketh the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? In Ezekiel chapter 37, and God said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? In Jonah chapter 4, and God said unto Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And what I want you to notice is, the Bible, therefore, is a Bible that is filled with questions, but thank God we have answers in the book. But here's a question for this evening. When God visiteth, what shall I answer him? And what I want to do this evening is to ask, or let God ask, the questions which he has posed in this book, which are vital for you and for me to answer. I want you to turn to the book of James. These are familiar questions. In James chapter 4 and the verse number 14, it says this: "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life?" There's the question of life. And God is asking the question here, and God is asking this question: what is your life? You know, I remember as a child, I had plans for what I would like to be. In actual fact, I had plans which I didn't even know I had. I remember going to my mother one day when one of my nephews asked me a question about chemistry. And if you remember anything about my days in school, you'll not remember, but I certainly do. I can assure you, chemistry wasn't my great subject. But I remember being asked a chemistry question, and so I remember saying to my mum, I said, "Mum, have you got any of my school books?" And she said, "I do." And I said, "Mother, I've been asked a question here by one of my nephews concerning chemistry. Have you my chemistry book?" She says, "I do." She went away and she looked in the cupboard and she opened it and she gave me my old chemistry book. And friend, this is true. Whenever I opened my old chemistry book, I had written my name naturally in the front of it. But this is what I had written on the first and opening cover: Robert Thomas William McCrae, MP for Sherston. And I was 12 years of age. You see, therefore you had plans. But I also remember when God saved me, I remember I used to stand on the side of the road and I would send the dog into the field and let the dog bring out the cows, and I would stand on the side and have a wee gospel tract in my hand. And I would read the gospel tract and I would preach away to the cows as they were coming out of the field. Because God was giving me a desire to be a preacher. Now, of course, my mom and dad, they were asked by a music teacher in the school, in the high school in Cookstown. I remember well, Mr. Peel was the music teacher. And he got a wonderful idea that their son should be something else, not a preacher. And he shouldn't be, certainly, a member of Parliament, but he wanted him to go to Westminster Abbey and be a choir boy. And therefore he wanted me to go there, and they asked my mum and dad, would they let me go? In actual fact, they were going to let me go. And then I threatened them. I says, "Listen, mum and dad, I'm not going to be a choir boy in Westminster. If you sent me there, I'd run away." What a stupid thing to say. But you know, to be honest, we have our plans about what our life should be. And so James is talking here under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, and he's talking about plans. Look at verse number 13. "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city." And so therefore they've got a plan to go into a city. And we'll go into such a city and we'll continue there a year, and we're going to buy and we're going to sell and we're going to get gains. There's a plan, friend. They have it all planned out. And so they have all of these things in their life planned, because they're going to go into the city and they're going to buy and they're going to sell. They're going to stay there a year and then they're going to make money and they're going to get gain. And then God asks the question. He says, "Ye know not what shall be on tomorrow," with all your plans. And he said, listen, "for what is your life?" What is your life? What's your life involving, friend, even tonight? I was thinking of the verse in God's Word. You know, God's plans for us. In the book of Jeremiah chapter 29, it says, "For thus saith the Lord," verse 10, "that after 70 years be accomplished in Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." God has great plans for his people. And God is thinking upon his people, friend, and God wants to be a part of your plans. Hudson Taylor was a great missionary. Hudson Taylor was speaking about, he was called as a missionary to China. And you know, he had definite connections about how God works, and thoughts and convictions about how God works. And he said, you know, we can make our plans, but you know, plans we try to carry them out in our own strength. Or we can make careful plans and then we can ask God to bless them. In other words, they're ours, but we want God to put his stamp of approval upon them. Yet another way of working is to begin with God and to ask his plans and to offer ourselves to carry out his purpose. Friend, that's the only way. Where you start with God. There's young people in the service tonight, and listen, I don't know what life's going to hold for you, but I ask you, listen, have you the plans for your life? Do you want to decide what all the plans are? And then you want to bring them to God and say, God, you put your stamp of approval on them. Then those are not God's plans. Those are your plans, but you want God to put a stamp of approval. And what God wants you to do is this. He wants you to bring your plans, my friend. Bring yourself to the Lord and lay yourself on the altar before God and say, God, here am I. I want to fulfill the purpose and plan that you want for my life. And God put yourself on the altar and you just make yourself available to God and you offer to carry out his purpose. Listen, here's the question. What is your life? What is your life, friend? You know, the Bible tells us here, and the answer to that question, it says it's even a vapor. It only appeared for a little time and then it vanishes away. Listen, life's short. It's short. We sing the hymn, life at best is very brief. It's like the falling of a leaf. It's like the binding of a sheep. Be in time. Tell me this. Life is short. Tell me, how are you using it? You can use it in two ways. First of all, you can use it wisely. Friend, you can use it wisely because you can yield your life and your heart and your soul to God and you can say to God, here am I, Lord, my life's upon the altar. I want to live life to the best and I know that life can only be lived in living it for Christ because Jesus said, I come to give you life and I come to give you it more abundantly. That's real life. That's real living. There are people living in this service tonight, and be honest before God, friend, all you have is an existence. If you were to be asked the question, what does life mean to you, you couldn't give the answer. Because all you've got is an existence, my friend, and the sum total of your life, it was put together, friend. Listen, it's only vanity, it's only emptiness, because you have no real purpose in living. Maybe you say, my life's for making money. Let me tell you, my friend, there's nothing wrong of itself to make money, but let me tell you, when you make it your God, then it is wrong. Because I'll tell you this, I don't care how much your life is consumed in making money, I'll tell you, when God blows out and puts the candlelight out, friend, and you're taken from the scene of time, you leave it all. There'll not be a penny in your shroud. And even if there was, you wouldn't be able to put your hand in the shroud to take it. There'd not be a checkbook, friend, and even if there was, you'd never be able to take the pen to sign it. What is your life, friend? Listen, there's people tonight, and they're living for vanity. They're living for emptiness. That's what the man of the Old Testament said. He said, emptiness of emptiness, all is empty. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And friend, there was no real purpose. You know what he said after? He said, therefore I hated life. You listen to the news, I think it was yesterday. In a little part of Wales, friend, let me tell you this, two more young people committed suicide. That is, this last year, 16 young people have committed suicide because, friend, they found that life was completely empty. No purpose, no meaning. And God's asking this question, my friend. Not as what the person sitting beside you, not as what is their life. He says, what is your life? What is your life, young person? If I was to point out to young people, some person up there in the gallery, and I was to say, young man, stand to your feet and tell me, what is your life all about? If I was to point out some person, some older person sitting here in the service tonight and say, come on, friend, stand to your feet and speak out and tell me, what has your life been all about? You say, preacher, it has been sorrow, it has been tragedy, it has been heartache, it's been hard work, it's been sweat, it has been toil, it has been tears. Let me tell you, friend, if that's all you have had, that's a sad life.
That's a sad life.
What is your life? What's it all about? You can live your life wisely, friend, because let me tell you, here's the wise thing. Whenever you invest your life for God and for eternity, that's using it wisely. It once was said, the advice was given to young people, if God calls you to be a missionary, never stoop to be a king. And I'll tell you, my friends, maybe your mom and your dad has got some special vision of what you're going to be and how educated you're going to be and how wonderful you're going to be. I want to tell you this here. Let them forget about it. Put your life on the altar for God and live it for God. And if God wants you to be that person, that special person in society, then you have the blessing of God upon you, because that's the purpose and that's the plan of God for you. But whenever you try to get God to put his finger of approval and stamp of approval upon your plans, you're making a big mistake. And now is the time, young person, to yield yourself to God. Now's the time, older person. Listen, you may be only a short wee while to go. Listen, put yourself on the altar tonight and say, oh God, what a foolish person I've been. God, I want to be honest before you. I've been bringing the plans to you and I've been asking you to stamp my plans. But oh God, listen, I've failed in it. And God, I want to invest the last days I have and I want to invest it wisely. And God, instead of bringing the plans to you, I'm bringing the person to you. I'm just bringing the nothing to you. But God, I'm just putting it on the altar tonight and say, God, here am I. Just take me. And I want to tell you, my friend, little's much when God's in it. And God could take, as we read this morning, he took the son of a harlot woman. And God made him a captain. Friend, let me tell you, your life may be broken and your life may be sad of the past and you may have gone from one failure to the other. And I ask the question again, what is your life? What's the sum and substance and total of your existence, friend? Are you using it wisely? Listen, you can live wisely or you can waste it. You can waste your life. You think of the story of the prodigal son. One day he walked to his father and he said, Father, give me. He gave his dad an ultimatum. And then here was the first rebel. And he turned to his dad and he said, Dad, you give me. And the father gave him. And then he gathered it all together and he went into a far country. And the Bible says he wasted it. In riotous living. Oh, I have no doubt whatsoever. He thought that was life. That really was what life was all about then. But he wasted it. Just before you talk about the prodigal son, friend, what about you? Come on, be honest before God. Maybe coming to the near the end of the journey, friend. Maybe coming to the 70 years and 10, look back over your life and say, listen, tell me, what has it been all about? What's the journey been all about? What is my life? What are you going to answer God, friend, when God visits him? God asks you the question, what is your life? What has your existence been all about? And God visits you, friend, listen, and asks it tonight, even in the service. What's your answer? Wasted years. What are you living for? What are you using the life that God has given you? Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Tell me, you're using your 70 years and 10 either wisely or you're wasting it. That's the first question God's asking tonight. It's a question of life. But let's go back to the book of Genesis now. And when I turn in the book of Genesis, I want to go to chapter 3, because here's another question. God's asking the questions, friend, not the preacher. And here's a question of lordship. In Genesis chapter 3, I want you to go to verse number 8, and it says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him," here's the question, he says, "Adam, where art thou?" Where art thou? Where are you, Adam? Let me say this, friend. When God asked the question, it wasn't that God didn't know the answer. God wasn't looking for information here. You see, the Bible tells us about the God of heaven, friend. He is an omnipresent God. In other words, he's present everywhere. But he's not only an omnipresent God, he is an omniscient God. In other words, he knoweth all things. He knows everything. And when God asked that question, and he said to Adam, he said, "Where art thou?" He knew exactly where Adam was when he called him, friend. Listen, God was not needing information. People then say, well, why then did God ask the question when he knew the answer already? You see, God knew exactly what Adam had done, friend. God knew exactly what Adam had tried to do. And the voice of the Lord God came walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam ran and he hid himself. And God knew exactly where he was hiding. And God knew that he was seeking, my friend. He had been trying to cover his nakedness with the fig leaves. And God knew all about that. And then the voice of the Lord God came and called out to Adam. He said, "Adam, where are you?" You see, well, what is God doing? I'll tell you this. God was not looking for information. God was stirring conviction. God was stirring conviction in Adam's heart. You see, Adam knew what it was to have fellowship with God. Yes, God visited Adam in the garden on many occasions before, friend. And the voice of the Lord God was sweet to Adam. And by the voice of the Lord God comes, and Adam is supposed to be in the place of fellowship. But there's something that's happened, friend. It's Adam's sin. You see, God has already spoken to Adam before in the garden. And God said, "Listen, Adam."